so happy to see that you've traveled all the way here to join us here for this conference. And also thank you for this arrangement. Everything is going so smoothly, and thank you for enduring this kind of tough period. This short presentation will be about Swedish music industry, since I'm heading the business umbrella organization, and one of our main tasks is to present figures about the economics and the development of the industry. And then we're going to have a very exciting and interesting panel, of course, talking about the income streams to the music business now and in the future. We had quite some headache trying to figure out the title for this panel. The title is not so very exciting, but I hope the subject is. Sweden is, as you all know, one of the most successful music exporters in the world. Of course, that depends on how you look at it and how you count on it. But there are some figures that I'm going to present to you. Sweden has the highest copyright income in the world, and that is compared to capita. Sweden is also one of the world's most top hit producing countries in the world, actually the most top hit producing country. And this has been mapped down by two American researchers at Wharton School of Economics. In 2012, 5 out of 10 of the most sold singles in the US were written or produced by Swedes. So in those aspects, you could say that Sweden is one of the most successful countries in the world when it comes to music. Sweden is quite a small country, you know. It's only 9 million people living here, and the industry's income is about 6.3 billion Swedish kronor. The turnover is for the export is 1 billion Swedish kronor, which is about 16% of the total income, and these figures are for 2011, and between 2010 and 2011, the total income was increasing by 4%, which is actually higher than Sweden's total growth, and the export was increasing by 1%. Swedish artists, authors, and their music companies and publishers, of course, are entitled to copyright payments when their music is played on radio and in restaurants, cafes, etc. Copyright income from abroad experienced 9% growth between 2010 and 2011. And online revenue, of course, is the most increasing part of the industry's income. And it increased by 48% between these 2 years. So as I mentioned, Sweden has highest copyright income per capita in the world, and we have twice as much as Great Britain, and which has in turn almost double the level in the US and in Canada. All in all, the revenue was 6.3 billion Swedish kronor, as I mentioned before. And these are the three main categories of income. The biggest part comes from live music, and that is 51%. Then we have copyright income, which is 27%, and then recorded music, which is 22%. And this is both the domestic market and the export income. So we have a very small population of only 9 million people, but we have a lot of active professional musicians. For example, there are over 70,000 songwriters tied to the Swedish Performing Rights Society, that is STIM in Swedish, and over 30,000 musicians tied to SAMI, that is the Swedish Artists and Musicians Interest Organization.
But only 10%
So one thing about the Swedish music is that it stands out abroad in lots of genres. We do have Eurovision-style success, and we do have death metal going abroad, making international success as well. Most of the general public maybe don't know that the house hits that they dance to in the dance floors or in the clubs is actually produced often by Swedes. So a look at the top lists reveals that Avicii, for example, In Flames, Robin, Lykke Li, Yohio, The Hives, etc., are international successes. And on the classical side, Ann-Sofie von Otter and other opera singers have made their careers abroad. So almost regardless of genre, you would find a Swedish act with international appeal. And I'll try to explain some of the factors that is the reason for such broad success. Sometimes you would like that there is only one explanation, but I think I have 9 or 10, so please be patient. First of all, of course, we have a really small domestic market. That means that many musicians and production companies and managers and songwriters, they have to go abroad. Of course, it's mostly interesting to do that, but and sometimes you're actually forced to do that because the audience here in Sweden is too small. And then is the education, so that's the second explanation. The education system encourages creativity and individualism and also provides young people with instruments and rehearsal rooms, sometimes for free and sometimes for a small fee. And is someone from Kulturskolan or Musikskolan here? No, some studie, Främjande Studieförbund, of course. Yeah, and I don't know the English word for that, but it's a quite a unique Swedish thing. Is there anyone in the audience who knows the English word for Studieförbund?
Adult study organization.
Thank you. So this is a place between being an amateur and a professional, and it provides you with rehearsal rooms, coaching, instruments and so on, so that you can go on being a professional later on. And this is a really important part of the professional system. There's also public policy, which is one of the explanations to the success. We have, maybe not sufficient enough, but we have a quite stable supporting system, and also respect for copyright, which is one of the most fundamental factors for the creative industries. Then there is a reputation. Swedish music has quite long high credibility among music bloggers, journalists, and club promoters globally. And that links also to the fact that success breeds success. So, for example, Max Martin's skills and networking in the world, and also Red One, as you see here, who's been writing for Lady Gaga, for example, they encourage and make it possible for lots of other songwriters and artists to pave their way in the world. So, and also, music is part of the Swedes' everyday life. Sweden, I've heard somewhere, are the most choir singing people. I used to be a singer in a choir myself for quite a long time, and I think that's quite a unique thing for both children and grown-ups to go every week to a choir rehearsal and engaging in both old and new, newly written Swedish music. Some people also go to chamber orchestras in their spare time, and also, of course, this
adult studies organization.
Yes, which is not only for young people, but also for grown-ups, and also when you go into retirement, people start engaging more and more in cultural life in their spare time. Of course, they have spare time all the time. And last but not least, there is a strong relation between our music export and our environment in Sweden that encourages and honors copyright and thereby the protection of the creators and the creative industries. As I mentioned, maybe in the beginning, 50% of our export income is based on copyright. And that's, well, it's half of the export that is depending on copyright. Of course, as the previous speaker also said, copyright income and other income to the industry is the most important factor to be able to reinvest in music and to be able to export again and again and again. This is a picture from Peace and Love from 2 years ago, I think, and I think it's the most wonderful picture I've ever seen. It's like this is the core of a music fan. The music fan base, and it's also the start page for our export strategy, which you can find out there. And we produce quite a number of reports if you would like to dig more and more deep into the Swedish music economy. Please find the reports outside and also on our website. It's in English as well. So that was it about the music industry income in Sweden, and then please let me welcome the panel.
Folks, we have a round of applause for Elizabeth. Great question.